Hey everyone, welcome back to Mercury Dimes and the Men Who Love Them. Tonight, we are recording episode 13, and this is a momentous occasion as we are bringing you our first ever interview this evening. Before we get into that, let's talk about our Shiny Rock of the Week. What do you got for us?
So the Shiny Rock of the Week this week is a American 20-cent piece, which is something I didn't know existed until earlier this weekend when I found it in an antique mall, and after Googling the values of such things, immediately purchased it. The price I paid for it was $60, and it's worth somewhere between that and about $250, so it seemed like a pretty good use of my money, and also a good addition to my U.S. coin binder.
Interesting. So a 20-cent piece. What is the year of yours, and then when were these minted originally?
The year of mine is 1875. It was struck from 1875 to 1878, but during the last 2 years of minting, 77 and 78, it was only minted for collectors. So there are definitely not very many in circulation, which explains the highly inflated price.
Interesting. So only really 2 years of actual real minting then.
Apparently, one of the reasons it failed is too similar in size to the quarter, which got people confused, which, I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, that's a strange denomination, I would say.
Wikipedia says it was proposed by a Nevada senator, and if memory serves, Nevada was a huge source of silver for the U.S., so that's probably the explanation right there.
artificially inflate demand. Nice. Okay, so you mentioned you paid $60, so is that in a lower condition? Like, what would you rate the what would be general rating for this condition of the coin?
Mine would be rated about good. About good is also a rating, so it could be either about good or it could be good. I think that's maybe a little bit up to speculation. It's definitely not in very sharp condition, but the data is legible and the general details are legible, which puts it in the roughly the good territory. If it was in very excellent condition, I wouldn't be able to afford it, most likely.
So is this something almost worth getting reviewed or analyzed and slabbed?
I would say potentially yes, but that's not something I'm going to have done, honestly. If I was going to have something slabbed, I would probably send in one of my nicer Morgans instead.
Okay. Is that the slabbing cost is generally pretty high?
I actually don't know what the slabbing cost is, but it's just not something that particularly interests me. I'm not quite a numismatist to that level.
Okay, that's fair. So I think it's safe to say this would not be an efficient silver purchase. What is the rough amount of silver in the coin, do you know?
So I have an exact amount. It is 0.1447 troy ounces. So multiply that out.
Say by 8, roughly?
Yeah, so about $500 would get you an ounce worth of 20-cent pieces in this condition. And you got to remember that since it's worn, it's lost some of its silver content, so even more than that.
Sure, right. You know, I think that's really interesting, though. I think I want to, maybe I mentioned this before, but I think an eventual goal of mine is going to be to find a U.S. coin of every single denomination that was ever minted, starting with the circulated ones and then maybe going to like the gold eagles and whatnot, things that weren't ever actually done for circulation.
You should have snapped up that gold $1 piece that was at that same mall then.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying eventually, because some of that stuff was not cheap. I'm looking at some of those, they had some trimes there and some 2 cent pieces, and those were not exactly cheap by any stretch.
I try to keep things simple, but just silver of the larger varieties is my general emphasis.
Sure. Okay. So I guess the last question would be, have you looked online? Are these coins available with any level of frequency?
So my the site I frequent most for goldeneaglecoin.com, they have a variety of different 20-cent pieces in stock in a variety of different conditions, including almost uncirculated.
Wow. What's that going for?
Okay. So the prices run the gamut from $65 for an about good piece to $495 for a certified very fine 30.
Wow, that's a low rating. That's 30 out of that 70-point scale.
Yeah. that's just the inflation of the certification. They have a an almost uncirculated that isn't certified and slabbed for 425, which is obviously a higher... It's a better condition despite not being rated and slabbed.
Oh, okay. Okay, interesting. All right, cool. Well, we will throw a link to a couple of those listings in the show notes. So be sure to check that out. All right, so for tonight, we have our first ever interview, which is a big bar to clear, but at the same time, I think this is going to be episode 13. Tonight, we are going to be talking with Tyler from PreciousMetalsProfessor.com. Now, Tyler, you were very graciously one of, I believe, the first person to definitely reach out to me once I started our Instagram feed, and may have even been the first person to like our page or follow our page. So, very cool initial interaction. So I'm glad we finally were able to get you on to talk for a bit. But if you don't mind, do you want to start by giving a brief bio of yourself?
Yeah, for sure. So my name's Tyler. I have had an interest in precious metals probably, I'd say, past 16 years. It's been quite a while. Yeah, I've been collecting mostly numismatics when I was younger. But that kind of dealt to what the value of precious metals was, because all of a sudden I had all these dollars that were not $4 anymore. All of a sudden they're worth $20 a piece. So that probably is what initiated my interest into precious metals. And then on the side, I just I did some content managing for a lot of companies who make their income online. And so that kind of, I just bridged those two ideas, and I decided to create a site that was around a hobby, and then use the skills I had picked up from my previous employment.
Very cool. So your main site, or I guess blog right now, is PreciousMetalsProfessor.com, and then you also, is that your name or your tagline on the internet in general, like social media, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Some of the sites, it's a little too big. So on Twitter, it's Metals Professor. On Instagram, it's Precious Metals Professor. And I'm actually on Parler.
Oh, awesome. To back up a little bit first, so you mentioned that you collected coins quite a bit when you were younger. And I think we've skipped over one main thing here. You're actually in Canada. So this is a similar, I'd say, but a different look on precious metals in general, I would say. Are you natively from Canada?
Yeah. So I'm born and raised in Ontario, Northern Ontario. So I guess you would call it the Northern Texas.
I've not heard that before. That's a good one. I'll have to ask. I got some family in Texas. I'll have to ask them if they're familiar with this tagline.
I would say Northern Ontarians and Albertans are probably the closest resemblance to Texans in Canada. It changes a lot of things. For one, we get taxed on 80% silver or 90% silver, which I think happens in some states. But I don't think your sales tax is as high as ours. Like ours is like 13%.
Yeah. Yeah, we're nowhere near that, thankfully. What is it like in Virginia?
Virginia is 6% unless you're spending over $1,000 in one transaction, in which case there's no sales tax.
Okay, and that's even that's on the higher end, I'd say, for sales tax for the states. If you just take the states that do charge sales tax on precious metals, 6% is even on the higher side, I'd say. So yeah, 13 is that's really rough.
Yeah. Yeah, if you think about it, a tenth of your purchase is taxes. Over a tenth of your purchase. Yeah, so that definitely changed things. And yeah, the premiums are larger here, and I'm not sure if that's, we have a really high minimum wage, even if you think about currency conversion. So like a Canadian dollar is worth about like a dollar, or an American dollar is worth about $1.33 Canadian. But our minimum wage is $14 an hour. So I think that's probably what's contributing to the premiums, because you got to think about like wages for the mint. You got to think about wages for the dealer. thinking about wages just to ship something. And so we're looking at premiums that are just huge. Like, they're ridiculous, like $13 Canadian, which is still more than what Americans pay. And that was on a relatively cheap coin. You know, the premiums here are just ridiculous. It's actually more cost effective for us to buy from the States, even if you account for shipping. So
really,
oh yeah, I had done a review for Money Metals, and their flat rate for shipping was $50, and the only reason it was so high was because the Canadian border was slapping GST tax, or our tax, on top of everything that crossed. And my assumption is just that because they couldn't verify whether or not it was junk silver or if it was bullion. So there's no tax on bullion. And so they were just putting taxes on top of it. And so instead of having to deal with the Canadian border, they just put a flat rate on it. So even with that flat rate, if you buy enough, you're still covering the additional costs of the premiums that are a lot higher in Canada.
So you said that junk silver, so like 80 and 90% silver is taxed, but then bullion is not taxed? What is the thought process there? Any idea?
Bullion is for investment purposes and junk silver is for collection. I think that's what they think. So yeah, like a lot of the times, I think there's a premium now on 90% in the US, but beforehand it was like one of the cheapest forms of silver that you could buy, as far as I know. And at least here, there's always been the tax on it.
Right, right. Okay, interesting. So along the lines of the taxes and fees then, is there any kind of, I guess, government regulation or limitation on the purchases you can make, or what you can purchase, or the amounts that you can purchase at a time? Anything along those lines?
Yeah, so like I think I'm pretty sure anything over $1,000, anytime I've sold silver fiat, you know, I know like the hardcore metals enthusiasts are going to like hate on me for that, but like sometimes you reach a economic climate, it's just better to switch to fiat, like especially when I kind of anticipated silver going down to $17 Canadian. I guess it was $11, $12 American. I kind of felt that was going to come. Anytime I've sold it, it's automatically been sent to the CRA, the Canadian Revenue Agency. I'm like downplaying a lot. Like, I'm not sure all the technical stuff. All I know is every time I sell silver, it is reported. And I think in the United States, you might be able to get away with under 1,000 in certain states where it's not reported. So Canada is kind of unique in the fact that if there's a law regarding revenue agency, it takes place over the entire country. And I think purchases under a certain volume are reported at a lower volume than would be in the States. Like, as far as I saw in the States, as long as you're not paying like $10,000 in cash, most states don't have to report anything. Whereas in Canada, I think if you're purchasing anything over, it's either $5,000 or $10,000, it automatically gets reported no matter what method of payment that you're using.
Interesting. Okay. So not that I'm condoning circumventing any kind of rules, regulations in this regard, but when you talk about selling, were you selling like directly to another person, or were you selling through a dealer? What was the process you were using there?
I sold directly to an online dealer. Reasons for that, I know that there's the Reddit subgroup Silverbugs, and they like kind of go through a vetting process. So like, if you're a reputable buyer, so for instance, if someone's a reputable buyer, I send silver to them first. If I'm not a reputable seller, right? And so whoever kind of has the highest reputation is who interacts with their product first. So if I'm a reputable seller, somebody pays me first. If I'm a reputable buyer, then I wait for the product to come to me, and then I pay for it. But there's always that risk for once fake silver, and a huge amount of silver is the fake stuff on the market tends to be copper plated, or silver plated copper, or some kind of metal plated copper. And it doesn't pass the magnet test. And so far, the only method I've been using is weighing and testing with the magnet for silver. I don't have a silver test, so I'm kind of just a little worried about. And I mean, like posting on Kijiji or Facebook, like what I'm gonna like post an ad saying, "Hey guys, I got $1,500 of silver in my house and I want to sell it." Like, I don't want people coming to my house. So selling to a dealer kind of gives me a little bit more security because it's insured, it's paid for. I don't have to worry about paying for the insurance on the package when it gets shipped. And there's no potential for, oh, I lost my package. And so that's the reason that I sell to a dealer. I'm not sure if you guys, like, I mean, if you have close friends who are into it, maybe, but they don't always want to buy or sell when you want to. So yeah, that's just why I've done it to a big dealer.
Right. No, that makes sense. I haven't, obviously I'm of the three of us here, I'm the newest into this, and SMA over here is also fairly new, but he, even though he's predating me by a couple of months, but have you actually, hey, SMA, have you connected any, have you made any kind of dealer sales? You know, you've done a lot of purchasing from various places, but have you ever sold anything so far?
I've not made any sales, no. And I think you're doing me a disservice there, because I definitely was, not buying, but receiving precious metals way back when.
Receiving. Well, you also were, the numismatist.
Yes, indeed.
So that's fair. But hey, so let you jump in here.
I want to touch on the capital gains tax portion of selling metals back to a dealer. In the U.S., as I understand it, reporting is based on the weight that you're selling. I believe if you're selling below 10 ounces of silver at one time, or potentially 10 ounces of metal, but I think it's just 10 ounces of silver, it's not required to be reported to the IRS. And if you're selling specifically silver eagles, it's not required to be reported in any size of transaction.
Canada bends you over and takes you cash.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. If you made money, they have it. It's theirs.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So moving on a little bit to the website and the just online presence in general. So you've obviously, as you said, you've been in precious metals for a lot longer. And I remember seeing a post, I think it was a post you had, or maybe it was like a somewhere on Instagram, like your bio, saying that a new site was in progress. And I saw that there was a site up at preciousmetalsprofessor.com at that point. So I guess, have you had that domain for quite some time and you were just doing a rework of the site? Or what was the what's been the basic life cycle, I guess, of the website?
Essentially, it was just getting started. So my brother is generally the one who handles the site development, but he doesn't do it for free. He gives me a deal, but he is much better at SEO than me. He's better at just building sites the way that I'd like them to be built. And so it was just like a process of him finding time, because it's a side job for him, and a process of, you know, money. I also wanted to plan my method of attack as well, like what demographic I was going to hit. So for instance, like a lot of the posts are pretty introductory so far. And a big reason for that is I'm trying to aim for a younger demographic than typically would be seen in precious metals. Just because, one, I thought it would be relatively easy to attract younger people because they like shiny stuff. Gen Z, Gen whatever it is now. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
The Zoomers.
Zoomers, there you go. Yeah, but also because it helps them save money. Like if you buy 10 ounces of silver, you're not going to go to the corner store and buy anything with it, right? Like that's save money for you. You don't have the temptation to purchase anything with it. So that I was trying to focus on my target demographic, and so it was honestly just coming up with a plan of action that took so long.
Sure. Okay. No, that makes a lot of sense. That's something that I've had it's been a rather challenging balancing act for me, because at one level I've always loved to just plan everything to hell and back and then take forever to actually get started. And then I've started to counteract that by, like, as we've been doing with this podcast, because even with the finished product of some of these episodes, it's sounds not great, but it is so much better from the raw content. It's basically just me adopting the mentality of I need to get something out there. Like I need to just start and then learn as I go. Because if I don't, I fall into, I think, the standard trap that it's clung onto me for a while of just, you know, never actually starting, which that's obviously varies from person to person. And it seems like you obviously have been doing this for quite some time. So you have a a lot better of an idea what your like your whole plan, basically what you're trying to do with the demographics. That's a huge thing, because I absolutely agree. I think there's a lot of potential there in the younger generations.
Yeah, we just got to get, you know, we just got to get some girl to hold some gold. A bunch of people will be interested in it, because that's what, you know, teenagers are thinking about. I think people in their 20s, they're not necessarily the best with money. And I think that's because, you know, I'm the millennial group. We weren't always the best with money. I don't think that people should dump all their money into precious metals, but it's definitely a cool way to learn about it. Like, if you start investing money and you get to hold either gold, if you're lucky, or silver in your hand, like that's a feeling of like, I have something of value and I earn this. And that might kind of translate into investments. But I don't think I'm any more prepared than you guys, because I was posting 3 posts a day when I first made my Instagram, and like, I haven't posted probably in 4 days.
It's hard work. It really is work.
Oh my, like, and that's the thing, because you're thinking, is this trash? Like, why didn't I get as much engagement on this post? And what you really should just be thinking is, do your best. You're going to learn. Because if you don't do anything, you're not going to learn.
Absolutely.
So I think that's the roadblock that I'm in right at the time. And also, there's nothing exciting happening in the silver world. It doesn't happen all too often. I think usually tech industries kind of push silver when things get interesting. And as for gold usually only reacts to like economic downturn. That's when it gets really exciting. But platinum and the other stuff has a lot of potential right now. But yeah, right now I'm definitely at the writer's block stage of content production.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. So I guess kind of along those lines then, just with between the website and the various social media presences, what have been some of your your big wins so far? What have just been things that have been going well as you're just sorting through the million varieties of things you can do?
So yeah, well, this one actually touches into the search engine optimization. Big win for me was that when you Googled precious metals professor, I was at the bottom of the page, my site, and now it's the second result. And that's because I worked really hard to figure out how search engine optimization worked. And so now I'm the second result. That's a big win. I know that sounds small, but like if I decide to like wear a t-shirt out or something and people are like, hey, what's precious metals professor? They're not going to look at the bottom of the page on Google.
Right.
They're just going to be like, oh, this, what the heck was this guy wearing? At least now when people, they decide to Google it and they see that, they can find it right away. So that was a huge win for me. It sounds small, but that was a big initiating step.
Very cool. Very cool. Like that's something that doesn't, right, it doesn't seem on surface level that it's a huge win, because it's literally the name you have. But with all of the, I'm just going to call shenanigans that Google has going on behind the scenes of how their algorithms are doing all of the various infinite things that they're doing, trying to battle through that with how opaque that whole process is, it's very much a constant war. Like, do you remember actually what were some of the pages that were beating you out previously? Were they any the big silver dealers, or who is up high?
No, some stupid game about precious metals. I don't know. It was like some 2D puzzle game that was talking about precious metals and then talked about a professor in it as well. And that just, for some reason, it's still at the top.
Interesting.
I imagine my thoughts are, I would say in the next month, I'll be at the top and all of my social media posts are. Don't quote me on that, but I have a hard time believing I won't be. Yeah, that was annoying, because back in the day, Google used to be pretty good at just delivering the name of the site. And now there's 200 and something different variables for how a site pops up on Google. Like, a big part of this is like, I mean, social media is easy. It's free. You know, I can probably, like, at one point I was getting 100 followers a week when I was posting 3 times a day. That's a much easier than it is to rank on Google, because if you rank on Google, all of a sudden you might get like 1,000 people a month. And it's so difficult to navigate that world.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, me personally, I've tried to completely give up on using Google as a search engine myself, just because of all of the shenanigans they're pulling. Like, if I type in a literal search term, I want the most relevant results, not the most relevant results that are being filtered through some kind of arbitrary algorithm. So like, there's various different sites I've been trying out, but at the end of the day, that's not where the vast majority of users are. They're on Google. They're using Google. They're using Facebook. They're using Instagram. They're using these big places. So as much as they're as challenging as they may be for someone trying to start out and to build an audience, it's what you have to use realistically.
On that note, like Bing has about half or 50% of the desktop searches in the U.S. So, I mean, if you're looking at a market in the U.S. where a lot of gold and silver gets sold, Bing is a good option to try to rank. I'm pretty sure I'm on the first result for Bing, and that's for desktop, not mobile. Google has like a huge monopoly on mobile. But the cool thing about Bing is that the people that go on Bing tend to be more educated. They tend to be in higher income. And so you can draw a lot of traffic from that. But on the other hand, that's also not all the young people that target demographic I'd be looking to hit. So it's a catch-22.
Right. No, yeah, that's interesting. That's actually really interesting that Bing has 50% of desktop. But I mean, from desktop versus mobile, like when we were trying to run some little Google ads, we were maybe seeing 10% of activity from desktop. It's all mobile now. It's astounding how much mobile traffic is just consuming the internet at this point.
Yeah, I agree. I think Bing pushes their ads so hard because they're trying to attract a market. Like it's the same reason. Like if you post a reel, we're getting so off topic.
Yes, yeah.
if you post a reel on Instagram, Instagram is going to push that because they're competing with TikTok. And so what they want to do is they want to attract people who make content to push on those social media sites. And so when Instagram, which has a billion users, and people are like, man, if I post on Instagram, they're going to push this. And same thing with IGTV. They're competing with YouTube. Yeah. So honestly, like a huge part of like creating a site, I'll tie it back into the development of the Precious Metals site, Precious Metals Professor, is that you just have to keep an eye on big tech companies and who's competing with each other, and just go with the guy who has to fight harder because he's going to get you where you need to go.
Right. Absolutely. Bringing that back to at least the story you mentioned before briefly about your attempt at running an Instagram ad. So can you run us through that story really briefly? What exactly happened when you tried to run an ad on Instagram?
Oh man. And you know, I ran it. Oh, they have so many. I had to read the rules on Instagram ads. Like it is, man, there's a lot of rules. Like that you guys posted this hilarious meme. I think I had like 100 likes is the highest. It's still the highest engaged post I have. 100%. It was he's talking to this girl and she says, stop buying silver. Or no, he said, I love you so much. I'll do anything for you or whatever. And she says, stop buying silver. And he kicks her off a cliff. It's hilarious. And Instagram said it was just trying to grab attention. I thought it was hilarious. I guarantee you if that ad would have run, I would have gained 100 followers that day. I have no doubts in my mind. But they wouldn't let me run it.
It's probably because it was glorifying violence or something like that, right? Something totally...
It's hilarious. Just show it to people who are adults. And then the other one was I had a Trump coin gifted to me. And now I'm not gonna like lean one way or another politically, like on any platform ever. But it was a gift, and it just happened to be in the picture. And for some reason, that they wouldn't run the ad, and so I had to get into contact with them. And like I tried, I sent them like the support messages. I looked up online, and like some people have been waiting like 6 months to hear back from Instagram about stuff like that. Wow. Yeah. I found a number for Facebook, and I called it and left a voicemail. Believe it or not, there is a number. They say that they probably won't get back to you, but they ended up getting back to my message, and they said we're really sorry. Like, because I explained them, like they produce these for every president ever. Like, this isn't political. This is like a collector's piece. It's produced. The piece itself wasn't actually a collector's piece. I mean, it was a gift. It was probably just produced by like some small mint, but. That's the way I explained it anyway, and they apologized for it. But I was just amazed. Like, you guys are gonna shut down an ad because like about 100 by 100 pixels on a screen? Like, it was ridiculous. It was just.
So they didn't come back. They didn't like apologize and say you could run it though. They came back and said we're sorry, you can't run this.
They ran it. They did.
Oh, they did run it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if I would have taken that somewhere and been like, yeah, these people didn't know anything about the industry. Just like, I don't like this. And then hit censor. Like, that's probably what happened. Like, he didn't know anything about the industry. He didn't understand that they do this every like 4 years.
Sure, sure. I mean, we're not, so not getting into politics either, because we definitely try to stay away from it ourselves as well. But being here in America, it's kind of hard to avoid it. And I mean, I think it would be safe to say that we are skeptics. We're very much skeptics of government, where the preference is obviously for smaller government versus larger government. But I think it shouldn't be controversial to say that social media entities picking and choosing the content that's allowed to be on their platforms, there should not be a whole lot of room that they have. Now, you get quickly into this whole thing about like censorship, of government censorship versus company censorship. But, and also I understand that if you're running an ad, it's going to be held to higher guidelines than, you know, the average, you know, meme channel is posting, whatever stupid sure. stuff they're posting, or even just like some of the stuff we're posting, because while that one meme you tried to use, it was, I'd say that was PG, maybe at worst, maybe PG-13, if I guess. But there's also some things we posted that are quite a bit more out there. And I could understand 100% why those would not be accepted as ads. But at the same time, any kind of depictions of a president, regardless of whether or not you like a president, like, that's kind of just a little bit beyond.
And this ad was targeted to Texas. Like, you think anyone in Texas would have gave a flying... I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on this podcast, but no one in Texas would have said anything. Like, they don't care. I was targeting it to people in Texas. And you can choose the demographic that you want. So I chose, like, mostly men in the age category that are generally interested in precious metals. Mm-hmm. And precious metals industry tends to be filled mostly with conservative people. I mean, I follow a ton of people, they follow me. Like, I can tell you that like 95% of my audience is probably Republican.
Right.
Yeah, it was just ridiculous. Like, I wasn't being political. I wasn't trying to be political. And I'm in Canada, so the page isn't a political page. Yeah, no, that was just dumb. I don't know.
The corporate boot is good and kind.
Thank you. That's insightful.
Yeah, but I'm actually pro big government, and the reason I'm pro big government is that I want them to be in power as long as it takes until they just screw up the economy enough that people should realize it's a dumb idea. I can't wait for that bubble to just
full black pill over here. But no, dude, I'm with you there in quite a few ways, actually. Like, I don't want, like, I don't get me wrong, I think I have a very comfortable life, and I don't want my life to be completely turned upside down. But at the same time, it's kind of like, where are we going from here at a grade? Like, what is overall, where are we going to end up in the next 20 years?
Live in the pod and eat the bugs.
I mean, yes, I honestly think so. Like, literally there was articles, I mean, even your illustrious prime minister was talking about, the whole we need a reset, we need an economic reset kind of thing, where this whole thing where you don't need to own things, you don't need privacy, we're just going to reimagine the whole economic system. And that somehow has any standing as far as viability or possible. Like, how exactly does anyone think that abolishing private property globally or even at a large country level is going to be even slightly efficient or even slightly successful for that matter?
Do know that he wants to change on the economic system. Like, honestly, part of me thinks that they're trying to make things fair. Like, Canada is a very small country. We've got like 37 million people. Our GDP versus deficit, or versus debt, like, we're almost a half a trillion dollars, or about to be a half a trillion dollars in a deficit. Like, half a trillion for 37 million people. Like, that's quite, it's not nearly the United States per capita for debt, but not even close. Like, probably I think it's like 77 times less or something.
we're the best at everything here. We have the biggest, literally everything, especially the debt.
Actually, no, I think it's only 7.7 times higher than ours, because we have $10,000 of debt per person. In the States, it's at 77,000.
That's really absolutely astounding. Like, that's just shocking. Anyway, all right, we're kind of getting around here a little bit all over the place, but so we have a last round of quick questions. Idea is just to shorter, quicker questions. So this is a caveat. This is just personal preference. This doesn't have to be, it can be your overall philosophy, but again, personal preference works too.
Gold or silver, personal preference?
Silver.
Rounds, coins, or bars?
Coins.
Maple leaves or American eagles?
Maple leaves.
Stored under the mattress or buried in the yard?
Wherever the wife can't find it.
What's your favorite PM dealer?
Silver Gold Bull, where I am.
Okay. And what's your favorite podcast, YouTube channel, or blog?
No pressure.
Joe Rogan? Actually, you know what? You guys are on the top of the list, not Joe Rogan, because Joe Rogan is a sellout. He's fallen for the whole Spotify thing.
Yeah, I'm kind of trying to keep an open mind there. The amount of headlines I'm seeing about Spotify employees like acting like the sky is falling because they have to allow someone to talk to people that he wants to talk to is a little bit ridiculous in my opinion, but I guess we'll see.
But a serious question, you guys don't actually think American Eagles are better?
I only own one, so I'm going off of what I own. I think it's an easy answer there, unfortunately.
I like the Asahi rounds more than American Eagles, but American Eagles let me tax dodge, so it's like, eh. Canadians do put more effort into the maple leaf design, though, I'll give you that.
Was it the new... No, it was the new Britannia that I was looking at with those ridiculous new security features. But no, I do... I'm going to be getting a maple leaf or two eventually myself. I'm not... I'm far from anti-maple leaf. It's just the Silver Eagle showed up first, so... It's my first love.
I would say either Maple Leaf or Silver Eagles is probably your best bet in the entire world. Like, I think of those, if you had two options, and like on the globe, those would probably be the two options you should go with. Not that I have anything against like Krugerrands or Australia. It's just, I think they're probably the most reputable. I know like tons of Americans that love Maple Leafs for some reason. I don't know, like Canada and precious metals is just associated with quality as far as I've been reading. I don't know if you guys feel that way.
I don't have any negative I don't have any negative opinions in that regard, at least. But I'm the noob here of this group, so
I gotta say I to some extent represent the section of people who have a thing about buying silver with the queen's face on it, or at least like the modern queen's face. That's the downfall of maple leaf for me, is that the Queen Elizabeth's on it.
Yeah, but you know it might be a novelty soon. She's not gonna be around much longer.
That's a fair point.
So actually, here, getting completely sidetracked, what is your thought on the Queen still being on your money in any way, shape, or form? Or is she on any of your currency? Is it just on the silver bullion?
It's all of her currency, actually. I think she's on the $20 bill or Monopoly color money. Yeah, like we don't have bills, right? Like we got these for $1. We have toonies for $2. and then obviously we have quarters, dimes, and nickels, but she's on all of them. And you know what? I kind of feel bad a little bit for her because like each subsequent year they've been getting better quality and she's been aging. Like, so they just capture her aging better and better. As like, as for her personal thing, like I, as far as that goes, like I'm kind of happy that we kind of have like this Commonwealth alliance with like countries like New Zealand and Australia and United Kingdom. It kind of like gives you like kind of like a sense of like a patriotship with those other countries. Like they don't personally influence our politics, so as long as they're not influencing our politics, I mean, that my opinion would definitely change if they like tried to implement policies here, but they can't do that.
Sure. No, I get that. I think it's 100%. At least for my perspective, at least, it's 100% due to the history of where the U.S. came from, where the U.S. was formed, where it was a violent rebellion against a crowd, as opposed to in Canada's situation where it was much more, it was like a fully peaceful just granting of autonomy as a country, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, the states did try to, like, come in and you know, fuck stuff.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely.
but we burnt down the first White House. I don't know if you guys know that.
I know that at passing, I don't remember, I don't know any details about that at all.
I think George Washington did something in Canada. And then I think you guys came in and, like, spanked us all later after we did that.
I'm going to pull out the actually card. Canada wasn't Canada when they burned down the White House. That was just like, I don't even know what they were calling it at that point. But, like, Canada didn't become a country until after that. So
yeah, that's true. There you go. That's true. So it was great.
I mean, yeah, the U.S., I think the U.S. would have been very happy to just at one point expand the whole North America continent. Like, I think there were 100% people, like, especially, you know, Mexican-American War, where it was 100% the land is here and it is touching our land, so it must be our land, which, you know, that, not such a great fan of. But Canada's, I mean, you guys are still relatively, actually, I take that back. If we exclude, like, Alaska, Canada's pretty comparable to the U.S. as far as land mass, right?
I think Canada is the second largest country in the world behind Russia. It's pretty big. I mean, most of it's, like, barren wasteland. It's pretty cold. But, it's a really, really big country.
So, actually, now even getting further off to completely off in the weeds, but I've never been to Canada. I grew up in Wisconsin, actually, which, you know, is fairly close. But never actually went across the border. So what would be your, like, top five list of recommendations for, like, places to visit, things to go and see or do whenever I do get around to that?
Not Toronto. Go there. The shitty version of New York. Montreal. Definitely go to Montreal. Montreal's definitely on the list. Ottawa, too. Ottawa's a nice place. Go to British Columbia. The middle provinces, I'd probably leave them out, except maybe Alberta. And that's only if you like hunting. Like, Alberta's got some massive size caribou. Like, they're just monsters. So if you like hunting and you don't mind paying for it as, like, an international hunter, Alberta would definitely be the place to go.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, I'm very new to hunting, but it's something I want to get more into. So that would be awesome. What about have you ever been anywhere near Churchill Downs, like the big polar bear meeting point or gathering point?
That's Canada's really big. Like, when I say Northern Ontario, we're not like, I can see Michigan from my house. Like,
wait, really?
No, that's not an exact. I can actually, if I look out my window, I can see Michigan outside my house. Yeah, and that's Northern Ontario. So I mean, like, that would be really far north, like, where nobody lives. Like, if you look at, like, the territories, there's like 37,000 people, not a bit. There's probably 100,000 people up there, and that's it.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Well, let's wrap this up then. Actually, before we go, you want to plug your social medias one more time? All the various places we found online?
Yeah. So, Metals Professor on Twitter, Precious Metals Professor on Instagram, and Precious Metals Professor on Facebook.
All right, and the main site, of course, is preciousmetalsprofessor.com.
Yeah, it's got great ring to it.
Well, all right, this has been a lot of fun, though. Really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, and hope to get this episode posted out sometime, maybe by Christmas. Let's be optimistic, maybe by Christmas. All right, well, awesome. Thank you again, and take care, everyone. Talk to you guys soon.
Stay warm up there.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Mercury Dimes and the Men Who Love Them. Please be sure to subscribe and rate this podcast, and be on the lookout for new episodes coming out roughly every week. The podcast website is mercurydimespodcast.com. We are also posting episodes to BitChute and Odyssey. Those channel links are in the show notes. Finally, if you have feedback, suggestions, or just want to shill the hot new crypto that your wife's boyfriend traded you for your Nintendo Switch, email us at mercurydimes@outlook.com. Until next time, keep stacking that silver, my dudes. We are not investment professionals. This is not real investment advice. If you take action on any of this information without consulting an investment advisor, you're even dumber than we thought.
Stop it. Get some help.